want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
I want to welcome every person to the broadcast today. I'm going to be speaking on wanting nothing. Father, I just pray that you pour out your spirit upon all flesh. And the Spirit of God is here to convince people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin, because they're not believing on Jesus. Every person out there that's not trusting in Jesus, in his death, burial, and resurrection, is in error. They're in sin. And of righteousness, the Spirit of God will convince us of righteousness. Because when Jesus was raised from the dead, he ascended back to the Father, and he made the human race righteous, if they'll just believe. Of judgment, the Spirit of God will convince everybody of judgment. Judgment, because the prince of this world is judged and cast out through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil was judged and cast out. Stand fast in that and drive him away from you. See, you believe the gospel, you can drive the devil away from you. All right, I'm going to talk about today's message, wanting nothing. You know, everybody is in the pursuit of happiness. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all have different ideals, and some of us have similar ideals on what will make us happy. Probably at the top of the list is, of course, being wealthy, have lots of money, which is far better than being poor. But having money and not a right heart won't totally fulfill you. And there's many people that look around that have money and they're not happy. Okay? So that's not what will totally satisfy. Financial prosperity is a benefit of the gospel, and having abundance of riches is great. And, you know, once your heart is right towards God. Okay, what about fame? Will fame fill our heart and make us completely satisfied? Well, I'm pretty sure if we did a survey of famous people, many of them have presently personal problems. So fame without a right heart towards God isn't the key to happiness. And when you have a right heart, you can get everything else worked out in your life. Now, of course, famous people that have tried to live more uprightly, they've done better than those that didn't. A lot of times, famous people get into all kinds of things they shouldn't. Okay, going right down the list, being known or many people liking us, you know, it makes us feel good. Everybody wants to be liked, but it won't completely satisfy you. There'll still be an emptiness, a longing in your heart. And you may not even know what it is, but you're just, something's missing in your life. You know, men think, oh, if I had this woman to be my wife, or oh, how happy I'd be, or a woman say, if this guy was my husband, how happy I'd be. Of course, you'll learn by experience. Physical attraction is not everything. You know, I've seen some women that were beautiful, but they were a monster to live with. If you got to know them, you thought, oh, I escaped the bullet on that one. And in the same way with men, there's men that you think, oh, how nice it'd be then. Well, some of them have personalities and things about them that would be no fun to be around. Anyway, you know, bad relationships is horrible. So it really goes back to having a right heart towards God. And even if you have love and respect for one another, if you don't walk upright before God, the devil will move in and destroy your relationship. Now, of course, when we talk about sick people are not happy, well, of course, they can't be happy. And, you know, if you're sick, you can never be happy. So I can totally understand you want to get healed, walk in divine health. That's one of the benefits of the gospel. And if you can't get it from God, go to the doctor. But there is healing in the gospel. And I'm pressing towards that mark to walk like Jesus walked. I've seen some healing. I've prayed for people and seen them healed. I've broken the oppression of the devil off people. Had this one man send me a message over Facebook. He said, "Hey, man, could you pray for me? I feel terrible. I hadn't been able to sleep for days." And when he said that, immediately I knew what was wrong. I knew it was a devil oppressing him. And I knew I had the faith to deal with it. And I said, "Yeah, I'll pray for you right now." And, you know, I messaged him this. I'm not talking to him. And I started praying, broke the power of the devil off him. He texts me right back immediately. He goes, "That's amazing. All of that oppression left me." Yeah, it was nothing but a devil. So I've experienced being able to pray, minister the Spirit, minister healing, everything, but I'm pressing on for greater things. Okay, but even if you're healthy, you won't be completely happy until you're united with God. You know, people try everything in this world in their pursuit of happiness. And you know, they obtain different degrees of happiness, but they're never fully satisfied. Now, if you're enjoying everything in your life right now, that's great. More power to you. Okay? But this is my advice. I wouldn't wait for things to go bad before you thought, you know, I need to learn how to come into a good relationship with God. All right? I'm serious. I've been around for a while. I've got some experience. I know what I'm talking about. You know, and I believe the only way to be completely satisfied in your life is to have your heart made right with God. Come into a loving relationship with the Father and the Son, the Spirit, and be one with God. You know, and I've experienced joy when the Spirit of God is ministering to me and having communion in the Spirit. But I haven't walked in the fullness of this where I'm happy all the time. I'm still experiencing sorrow at times. And the reason is because God, I mean, I'm still in the process of being transformed. And I haven't been brought into union with God. But I can see these things in the Word of God, and I'm persuaded they're true. I've seen enough in the Word of God, and I've had the Word of God proven to be enough to believe the rest of it all is going to come to pass too. You know, one of the first things I wanted to get established when I started endeavoring to walk with God was, is the Bible your Word, God? Because, you know, I'd heard that, and that's the way I was brought up. And I was always taught that. Everybody always said, yeah, the Bible's the Word of God. But I didn't know. But I'm going to tell you something. It's been proven to me. I'm just another person that can testify. It's been proven to me over and over that what God says in the Bible is His Word. I mean, that Bible is His Word. And He stands behind it. And to this day, He's proven it to me over and over. And, you know, I could say many things to prove that the Bible's the Word of God. Jesus quoted the prophets of old. He testified that it was the Word of God. He said he only spoke what he heard his Father say. And many different authors over a span of many years, and their writings all fit together, you know, 66 books in the Bible, and writing over, I forgot how many years, maybe 1,500 years or longer, and all these things fit together, and how God said he would exalt his Word above his name. And, the Bible sold more copies than any other book in the world. And I don't need that to know there's a God. I don't need an intellectual, somebody intellectually trying to prove to me there's a God. I already know it. I'll tell you right now, if you believe the gospel, you'll find out there's a God. Well, because it says, who's believed our report and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's the power of God to be revealed to you. God said it, and he's done it for me, and he's done it for many, many people. Okay. Now, let's look what Solomon, who is the wisest man that's ever recorded, what he spoke about in the Bible. Turn to Ecclesiastics, the first chapter, 8 verse. I'm going to read the International Standard Version. Everything is weariness, more than man is able to express. The eye is never satisfied by seeing, nor the ear by hearing. Ecclesiastics 2:10, Amplified Bible. Whatever my eyes looked at with desire, I did not refuse them. Now, it's going to go on to describing how Solomon tried everything to be satisfied. I did not withhold from my heart any pleasure, for my heart was pleased because of all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Then I considered all which my hands had done and labor to do, and behold, all was vanity. Chasing after the wind, there was no profit, nothing of lasting value under the sun. Go to the 4th chapter, 8th verse, New Living Translation. This is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a mother or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asked himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all meaningless and depressing. Ecclesiastes 5:10, New Living Translation. Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. Let's look at how the Lord can satisfy. Well, we'll look at that in a minute. You don't want to say this. And it's always important to get the whole counsel of God, because I could take a few scriptures how it talks about how that having godliness and contentment is great gain, and having brought nothing in this world, we can take nothing out. Let me turn this heater off. There we go. I think the microphone picks that up. I got a heater in here. Temperature dropped overnight. How having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And I could take a few scriptures and make you think it's godly to be poor, not have very much money. Then I could take another scripture and talk about how, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. And so if you take the whole counsel of God and put it together, you'll see that we need to get our heart purified from covetousness. We need to have the Lord be first place in our life, have a right heart with God, and then we're rich. We're rich. We have an abundance. That's one of the benefits of the Gospels, that he made us rich. And so it's so important that you are taught the whole counsel of God. Then, it's just like I was thinking about this a little while ago. I used to read about, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. Don't do everything you want. And if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross. But you know what it also says? God gives us all good things to enjoy, and we're free to do all things. So, and of course, we're free to do things we enjoy. So if you put the whole counsel of God together, God will let you do things you enjoy, and you'll also be denying yourself to take up the cross and follow Jesus. Okay? You can't throw one out to hold to the other, and you can't throw the other one out and hold to this one. You put them both together. So there'll be times you're just seeking God, praying, and then there'll be times God will be leading you to do things you enjoy or letting you have things you enjoy. And so, I've overcome some more in the last month or so. And let's look at how the Lord will satisfy our soul. Isaiah 58:11. Because, Solomon's talking about how he did this, he did that, and he did this, and he still wasn't happy. Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord will guide you continually. This is after you get the yokes of bondage broken. And so you go back and read that in context. He will guide you continually. That's being led by the Spirit in everything you do. And satisfy your soul. See, as you learn to be led by the Spirit, God will satisfy your soul. Satisfy your soul in parched places. And they will strengthen your bones, and you will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. God's a supernatural being, and he can just touch you and you're happy. I kid you not, I know what I'm talking about. I've experienced his supernatural power. I had one time God cast a spirit out of me in the middle of the night. The power of God came on me, grabbed my body like it was nothing. And I was under the power of Almighty God. See, that's why you can't convince me there's no God. I already know it. I've experienced his power. And, let's read on. Acts 2:28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. In that while, he just turned his face towards you and make you happy. Let's read that same scripture in the New Life Version. You have shown me the ways of life. I will be full of joy when I see your face. So anyway, we as human beings, we naturally get up every day, and after, we fulfill whatever, we do our jobs, whatever we do to earn a living, to make money, to pay our bills, we look for things to make us happy. And, of course, God made us and he gave us a conscience. So he made us where we try to do what's right. And we don't always do the best job of it because we're living in a body of sin. We're in the slavery of sin. If you haven't found that out, you will when you try to walk in the light, and you'll find out you don't do too well. But the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon, is a reflection on life together with advice on making one's way through life. So what I'm getting at is, we naturally try to make ourselves happy, but we don't know how to. So Let's continue to look at the wisest man in the earth, what he wrote. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the light of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Now, you got to study this out, because what it's saying is, you can go on and follow your heart and do all the things you enjoy and do everything and run around and do all this stuff, but you better put evil away from you. Follow God. All right? Now, remember, I just said, I quoted that scripture, we're free to do all things, and God will let us enjoy life, but we need to also deny ourselves and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Ecclesiastes 12:1, International Standard Version. So remember your Creator during your youth. Otherwise, troublesome days will come and years will creep up on you when you'll say, I find no pleasure in them. Okay? So like I said, if you're doing great right now, you're happy, you're fulfilled. And a lot of people are generally more happy when they're younger, even when they don't follow God. But you're wise to turn to God, because the days will come, things will get, all the things you used to enjoy, your happiness will begin to leave you. And I'm telling you, I've watched this in people. Look at John 16:20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, now he's talking to his people, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Speaker didn't pick up the heater coming on. I got a portable heater and then the heater in my house going. Okay. So, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now, when God's transforming his people, there's times of sorrow, but your sorrow will be turned into joy, and no man will be able to take away that joy. But those who walk with God are being brought out from underneath the law of Moses, and the curse of that law, we're being delivered from all the sin in us, we're being made the righteous of God, and then we have heaven on earth. But we have some sorrow walking through some of these things. But, you know, those that don't follow God, they may be happy for many years, but sorrow is in their future. You hear that? It says destruction and misery. You go read that in the third chapter of Romans, are in the path of those who are in a fallen state. And if you don't come out of that fallen state, destruction and misery are coming your way. Okay, so and people that continue to go their own way, they'll become more and more unhappy in the days to come. And let me tell you this, it's easier to go into bondage to sin than it is to get back out. So people who walk in God's ways will become more happy, and people who won't follow God will get more unhappy. But either way, it doesn't happen overnight. You don't get delivered overnight, and you don't become sorrowful overnight. That's why, you know, if you don't step back and look at things from a right perspective, like go look at famous people, look at wealthy people, look at that, and you begin to say, well, that's not the end all to happiness and fulfillment. And you, if you look at some people that try to follow God, you can see some of them are miserable, but you have to understand, are they really walking in God's ways? Are they getting delivered? And get understanding that for those that get delivered, that follow God, they're going to be more and more happy. You know, everybody has hard times. Everybody has some sorrow. And some people have a lot. But I personally consider it wise to follow God, because I know that my end will be good. So in other words, learn how to walk in God's way. Be happy. Then you'll be happy. And then everything will be well with you. You say, well, everything's good with me. Everything's good. I'm going great. I don't need God. Oh, yes, you do. God created the human race for his pleasure, and he loves us, and he wants us to love him back. You know, that's what God's asked you. He wants you to love him back. Is that too much to ask? Now, of course, people don't understand this, but you have to walk through some things that are hard to get your heart changed so your heart comes to the place you can love God back. Okay? You don't try to con God, because you can't con God. Don't, oh, I love you, Lord. I've heard people say, oh, I love you, Lord. Uh-huh. If you love him, you'll keep his words. You'll delight in his ways. Okay. And you have to have your heart changed to be that way. I used to be condemned because I would read that. I had an honest heart. And I thought, it said to love God. And I thought, I don't love you, Lord. I know I don't love you. But then when I began to find out that he was going to change my heart to love him, I thought, would you do that? I thought, how gracious. I thought, this is wonderful. Because I knew by revelation how great God was. He's exceedingly great. I had one time the Spirit of God manifest himself to me. I don't even have words to describe what a glorious person he is. So loving and kind. I'm telling you, I'm of sound mind, honest tongue. Okay, turn to Ecclesiastes 12, verse 10. The preacher sought to find delightful words, even to write correctly words of truth. The words of the wise are like prodding goads. These collective sayings are firmly fixed in the mind, like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, about going further in the words given by one shepherd, be warned, the writings of many books is endless. In other words, he said, keep the words of God. Don't go after these other teaching. So you do not believe in everything you read. Excessive study and devotion to books is wearing of the body. When all has been heard, now look at this. The end of the matter is, fear God, worship him, be filled with reverence, knowing that he is Almighty God, and keep his commandments. For this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, every hidden and secret thing, whether it be good or bad. Isn't that wild? And you know, let me show you this about Jesus. Luke 11:31, Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with the men of this tribe and condemn them. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, that which I just read you. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Now Jesus was talking about himself. And if there's any advice I would give to any person in his life, it'd be to learn the words of Jesus of Nazareth. Put them in your heart and obey them, and it'll be well with you. I'm going to tell you something. I'm a person that God's changed quite a bit. I used to have a heart that was perverted. I was ashamed of the words of Jesus. I was ashamed to be a religious person. I felt like such a weirdo. I didn't want to submit to this. My heart was excited about the revelation of God, but part of my heart didn't want to have nothing to do with God. But God's changed me, and I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not deceived by the devil trying to make it sound like, oh, the people of the world got it so great, and Christians, oh, that's miserable. Nah, I'm not deceived by you, devil. All right, let's go ahead, and we'll put a song here. We're going into, I hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. Got to see family and friends. But we're moving along and we're going into the Christmas season. So I'm going to go ahead and put a Christmas song. Let's do O Holy Night by Pamela Pontiff.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt his worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voice. Divine, oh night divine.
gospel is peace. Transgressions are forgiven and sins are covered, and in His name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise His holy name. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine.
So, to be able to walk in God's ways, we have to get our heart changed. And once again, I have to say this. This is where the ministers of this land, everywhere I've ever heard them speak, have missed it by saying, just receive the Lord and you got a new heart. And that is a tradition of man that has made the Word of God a none effect for many people. When you receive the Lord, the Spirit of God just starts to change your heart. But these ministers start telling you, after you receive the Lord, they just move on and say, okay, you got a whole new heart. Now you need to change your thinking. See, the reason why you're still having problems is because you got to change your thinking. And then when there's times where they realize they're acting just like their old self, they say, oh, I've just got to renew my mind, or that's the devil putting that on me. You know, they have different things they come up with. You know, one minister said, after you receive the Lord, there's nothing left in you but a memory of your old self. This man has a world wide ministry. He can fill the whole Fort Worth Convention Center and has done it for many years. And all these people are listening to this guy. And he's saying, after you receive the Lord, there's nothing left in you but a memory of your old self. Well, the truth is, you don't even start to deal with the old man, the sin in you, until you're baptized in water. Not when you first receive the Lord. And then after you're baptized in water, you have to keep believing to put him to death. See, that's why it goes on to say, reckon the old man dead, after it's talking about coming out of the water. And in the next chapter, it talks about the struggle of sin, which is the old man. And I can prove that's the old man. Then it says, who will deliver me from the body of this death? And it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then later in Paul's writing, it says, put off the old man, which is telling us to put to death the old man. And it's through faith and obedience. See, that's why it says, when it's saying put off the old man, it's telling you to obey the words of God and put away these deeds. Just push them off. You don't yield to the... In other words, same thing in Romans 6 says, don't yield your members to sin. Here it's saying put off the old man. And the way it tells you to do it is don't yield to that. See? Then when you start talking about this, you get ministers stamped and say, well, when you teach that, they say, well, we're not saved by works. Well, we're not talking about doing works to be saved. You don't have to do works. No, that's obedience to the faith. You know, what's amazing is out of their mouth, they say they're a new creature in Christ and all things have passed away. And about 2 feet below their mouth is their heart with all this sin in it, which is the old man. And it says that in Romans 7, that sin is still there. And this is written to people that have already received Christ and have already been baptized in water. Can you believe they are teaching this? Oh, the memory, that's nothing but the memory of your old self. Romans 7 says, now then, if I do that which I would not, it's no longer I, but sin that dwelleth in me. And he's telling you, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? These are baptized Christians. Oh my God. And you know, Christian Science, they deny reality, which is wrong. Now, we as believers, we're called to call those things that be not as though they were. In other words, believe what Jesus accomplished on the cross until that truth abounds in our life. But we don't deny what's still there. We don't deny we're sick. We don't deny that we still have a sinful heart. We just believe that we've been made the righteous of God. And we stand fast and keep believing the old man was crucified with Christ, put to death. We keep using our will to obey the words of God, and he keeps passing away. Let me give you an example. Like, for example, Jesus healed us physically on the cross. With his stripes, we are healed. When he was healed, when God raised him from the dead, you know, he took the soul and spirit of Jesus out of hell, put him back in that body, which had saw no corruption, raised him up. He had all the sickness of the world on him. Every bone of his body was dislocated. Put that body back together. It was totally and completely healed, except for two things. There was only two things that were not healed. The scars in his hands and the scars in his side. He left them as a mark so we'd know who he was. And when he appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead, they were in doubt. And he said, well, behold my hands and my side. And it proved who he was. I heard one minister in a charismatic movement that Jesus appeared to him, I think, 8 times. And he said he didn't have any scars in his hands or his side. Well, that wasn't Jesus. But anyway, we're healed when Jesus was healed, but we don't deny we're physically sick like Christian Science. We don't say, well, we're not sick. We just said, by stripes we're healed. And it's the same thing with the old man. He didn't totally pass away. It's clearly an ongoing work of grace where we must believe as he is crucified with Christ and obey the words of God to get rid of the old man. It's a combination of faith and obedience, and you get rid of him. You can sit around and argue with me, well, it's not what we're not by works. Well, it tells us that we're supposed to keep believing it, and it tells us to put him off. And if you look that up, it says, where it says, put off the old man, then a few scriptures later, it says, wherefore put away lying, that's obeying the word. That's Ephesians 4:22 through 25, okay? So that's a combination of faith and obedience or obeying the faith. So quit saying we're not saved by works. No, we don't earn it, but our faith works as we believe and obey. And so, I mean, just teach what the word says and quit giving your opinion. Okay, Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believes, it's the Jew first and also the Greek. And the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's the power of God. And salvation, and that power brings salvation to you. Salvation is an all-inclusive word that covers everything you will ever need from the time you receive the Lord to the time you go to be with him. And the power that God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead works in us who believe to bring about that complete salvation. See, the work Christ accomplished on the cross brings about a complete salvation. And this is what will bring you into a loving relationship with God as your salvation is made complete. So the gospel makes your heart right. The gospel reveals God's will for your life. And then as your heart is made right, you can live by faith, walking with God in one accord. Let's read that in the next verse. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay, the just are those who have had a right heart. Their heart, they've been justified. Their heart's been made right. They can live by faith. You know why you struggle living by faith? Your heart's not right yet. All right? You know, and what's happened is many people have been seduced from the faith. They've been deceived from the simplicity that is in Christ. They say the truth will make you free. Then they talk about everything except for what Jesus did on the cross. That's what makes you free. Okay? Every promise, I can take every promise in the Word of God and show you it was done on the cross. The law was erased, taken out of our heart on the cross. It was nailed to the cross, and it's erased. So that sets us free from that law working on the sin is making us more sinful. The sin nature, the old man was crucified on the cross. We were healed on the cross. We were made rich by the cross. How's that? Well, Jesus was made poor, became poor as he went to the cross that we'd be made rich financially. He didn't become poor spiritually. Nah. If he would have, he wouldn't have been able to stay in faith and believe God all the way through till he was raised from the dead. We were redeemed from the curse through the cross of Christ. He became a curse for us on the cross. Every promise was given to us through the death, burial, and resurrection. It reverses everything that happened through the fall of man. All right. You know, I spoke about the wayside heart last week and how confusion being ministered to people keeps their heart from getting understanding in the Word of God. And then these people are not able to grasp a hold of it. And then, you know, of course, evil spirits are right there to steal that word right out of their hearts. Now, these people may remember the word in their mind, you know, because there's a lot of people that remember the word, they quote the word, but they don't know it and walk in it. They don't have understanding in the heart. And the word is, they don't keep it in the heart. The word doesn't take root in the heart and germinate, and that's why it doesn't bring forth fruit. You can have a great memorization ability and memorize scripture left and right. That doesn't mean it's stayed in your heart, okay? When it stays in your heart and takes root in your heart, it'll produce the fruit of the Spirit. And as you bear the fruit of the Spirit, you can walk in the Spirit. Okay, turn to 1 Corinthians, 1 chapter, verse 10, Christian Standard Bible. Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree in what you say, there be no divisions among you, and that you be united in the same understanding, the same conviction. All right? Isaiah 52:8. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, and the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings again Zion. Now Zion is the body of Christ, and when God raises up the body of Christ, we'll all see eye to eye and be in agreement. So when do you think, Scott, this is going to come about? Well, let's read the previous verse. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. That's the preaching of the gospel. That's what the Lord told us to go into all the world and preach is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. It is glad tidings of good things. And I just listed off some of them. The healing, the forgiveness, the redeemed from the curse, getting free from the law, getting free from the bondage of sin. And as all the ministers get the revelation of what Jesus accomplished on the cross and preach about that, get understanding of that, you know, everything Jesus accomplished on the cross, and we get the foundation that's written in Hebrews 6, laid down in our, then we'll all come into unity. All right? And the reason why people are able to teach all these heresies in the body of Christ, all these opinions, is because they don't have a revelation of the gospel, everything Jesus accomplished on the cross. They don't have a foundation laid in them. And then once we get this all work, this all laid down in God's people, we'll be able to give that each teaching the litmus test. And if it doesn't line up with that foundation, we'll say, nope. See, and the more you get the whole counsel of God, you can begin to see, nope, that one doesn't fit in, that teaching doesn't fit in, that teaching doesn't fit in. That's how I detect teachings that are wrong. Okay, now we're coming into the Christian season, or the Christmas season, not the Christian season, the Christmas season, and here is God's message to us. You want to know what God thinks about you? Let me read this to you. Luke 2:8. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to a few people. No, it shall be to all people. These are good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. See, that's the message of Christmas. I don't know why I keep saying Christians. That's the message of Christmas. A Savior is born, Christ the Lord. And God wants you to know that He sent His Son into the earth to bring peace between you and God, to bring your heart into a good relationship with Him. He says, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Now, does God promise us anything in His Word that He can't completely? Let me say it this way. Does God promise in His Word a way that we can become completely satisfied? More getting into more specifics. I've been speaking on a general sense more, but here's a scripture that talks about specifically God making us completely satisfied. Turn to James 1:4. But let patience have her perfect work. Now, we have talked about God doing a work in you. Let's talk about that a lot. That ye may be perfect, glory be to God, and entire, wanting nothing. That's perfect satisfaction. When we're made perfect, then we will want nothing. We will be perfectly satisfied. Let's read that James 1 in the Amplified Bible. And let endurance have her perfect result and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect, completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing. Same scripture, New International Version. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking, not lacking anything. You won't lack joy. You won't lack peace. You won't lack happiness. Nothing. You know, God has always led His people the same way, to go through the wilderness, to be humbled, to be corrected, to learn to walk by faith. And as we're walking through the wilderness, we're transformed. Then He brings His people into the land of promise. That's where all the blessings of God are. And, you know, by the time He walks you all through all this, you're transformed. All right? And then you get to where you can walk in the Spirit, and then you're brought into unity with God. And then all the blessings are yours. See, Psalm 65:4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that we may dwell in thy courts and be satisfied with the goodness of the house, even the holy temple. Psalm 16:11, thou shalt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Now, this is where God's taking His people. All right? And the people that are in the world, they may be happy. If they got health and they got money, you know, some of them, they're like on top of the world. But if they don't get out from underneath the law, the curse is going to finally come upon them. All right. If they don't, you know, be brought to repentance of their sin and get out from underneath the law, curses will come on their life. Sickness will come on their life. They'll begin to start little by little, more and more, reaping what they've sowed. They walk in the flesh, they're going to reap corruption. And then, you know, I've seen couples sit down and you can tell they're not even happy with one another. I remember, you know, I'm a landscape contractor. I remember one time I was doing this property and I saw this couple walk out of a motel room and they were yelling at each other, screaming at each other like a bunch of animals. And I thought, oh my God, that's horrible. And I can tell you right now, the words they were speaking to one another were hurting each other's hearts. And they were damaged. And I thought, oh my God. You know, I came out of a bad relationship. And I thank God, you know, I got out of it. God finally let me divorce my wife. And I don't ever want to get into a bad relationship again. I'm not going to let it. I'm gonna believe God. But God wants us to be perfect and content, wanting nothing. He will give us happy relationships. He will give us joy and peace. He gives us eternal life. We can have everything. But we have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't always get to do what we want. Now, He will let us do things we enjoy. We're free to do all things. And He will give us all things to enjoy, let us do things we enjoy, but there'll be times where we'll be denying ourselves and we have to learn to pray. We have to learn to fight the good fight of faith. God will be correcting us. We have to humble ourselves, but I wouldn't trade this life for anything. You can have what you've got. Oh, I'm going to follow God. Okay, so I have some news update about my ministry. I now have a fiscal sponsor, and that's a 501c organization. So anyone who wants to be a part of this ministry can do so, and all financial gifts are tax deductible now. And I'm using another platform called Silent Donor. And anyone that wants to give to the ministry through this organization and wants to remain anonymous, they can do so through Silent Donor. And all this information is on my website, scottparkeronline.com. All you got to do is click on the link on there at the top of the page. If you're looking on a desktop or on the phone, you have to push the buttons on the right to scroll down. But click on the Give link, and it'll have all this information on there. And also, if you go to the link on Music Ministry, I have many gospel songs on that page, and you can download them, pray, you know, play them anytime. In fact, I would recommend putting these songs on a whatever device you have that has a loop, and you can play them over and over. And the purpose of this is that the anointing is on these songs. And as you play these songs, it'll minister the Spirit in your house. And the anointing will help you get in faith when you read the Word of God, when you pray. It's the Spirit of God that makes the Word of God come alive. And the Word without the Spirit is dead. It's a dead letter. So as you believe, you can get in faith. But the Spirit ministering will help you get in faith, and it'll make that word come alive. And you'll see a lot better results as you do this. And, you know, like if you're at work, you know, you say, well, I can't play the music when I'm at my job. Well, turn it down real low where nobody can hear. You can just barely hear. It still lets the Spirit be ministered to. Sometimes you feel it, sometimes you don't. But it doesn't matter. It still ministers the Spirit. And it'll help you. So that's just another way. All right, let me check for time here. God, still at 41 minutes. Oh, well, I ain't going to sweat it. It is what it is. If it's too long, if you list some of these, you have to turn it on and come back later. I don't blame you. You know, it depends on my heart. Sometimes, you know, I listen to my own podcast. I'll go back and listen to them. I do it for several reasons. One reason is this: it's God operating through my heart. And it's some of my own podcasts minister to me, but sometimes I listen to them and I don't even want to hear it, because my heart is still being changed. So sometimes it depends on the condition of your heart at the time. Sometimes you don't even want to hear what he says. Sometimes it'll minister to you. So anyway, if you're at one of those times you don't want to hear it, just turn off, listen to it later. So, but it does, you know, that's one thing we have to learn about following God. You don't live by feelings, okay? You'll find out the Word of God is true, and that's what you go by. And your feelings will change. Amen? All right, if there's anybody out there that's never been saved, born again, you know, it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You don't belong to God unless you have the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ enters you when you receive the Lord. And that's where you start the new birth. So to receive the Lord, you just call upon his name, you accept him as your Lord and Savior. So to do so, just repeat after me right now. Lord Jesus, I just receive you as my Lord and Savior. I receive you right now, Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I thank you that you died for me, you were buried, and you're raised from the dead. That's it. You have to say a sinner's prayer. You don't have to remember all your sins. You couldn't remember them all anyway. God will deal with your sins. And you just walk with him. And you don't have to worry about if you sin right before you die. Just walk with the Lord. He will keep correcting you. And when you walk with him, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ, who walk in Christ, and you'll go be with him someday. The only thing that you don't want to do is just willfully rebel against him. And if you catch yourself doing that, say, Lord, forgive me, and then get back to walking. And he'll just keep straightening out your heart. All right, that's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry in music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.